This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
With less than 2 weeks before the current spending package expires, lawmakers are working on a package to fund the federal government for the remainder of fiscal year 2021. R.J. Carney, American Farm Bureau Federation Congressional Relations Director, says the negotiations are ongoing.
The federal government is currently operating under a continuing resolution, which will expire on December 11th. The House and Senate have agreed to top-line spending amounts for all 12 appropriation bills. The next step is for the subcommittee chairs to finalize and agree on the specific allocations within their specific bill.
Carney says Farm Bureau has a list of priorities for the agricultural spending bill, including an extension and additional funding for the Wildfire Hurricane Indemnity Program, or WIP Plus.
This is critical for the farmers and ranchers impacted by the numerous hurricanes, the derecho, the flooding, and the wildfires that have persisted throughout 2020. The derecho is currently not a qualifying disaster event because under current USDA guidelines, unlike hurricanes, derechos are not named storms. So AFBF is requesting there be a policy change to allow farmers and ranchers impacted by the derecho to receive funding for the WIP Plus program.
Carney says it appears Congress has all intentions to finalize 2021 spending bills.
There are a lot of politics still to play out over the next 2 weeks, and a lot of discussions will occur both within the House and Senate committee chairs, but then also within the leadership and in coordination with the White House. If Congress is unable to come to a resolution, then we would likely see another continuing resolution, which would extend early into the next Congress and the new administration.
Again, that was R.J. Carney, American Farm Bureau Federation Congressional Relations Director. In other news off Capitol Hill, House lawmakers will be nominating the next House Agriculture Committee chairman on Thursday. A committee spokesperson confirmed leadership will decide who to back for the position, according to the Hagstrom Report. The two candidates being considered are David Scott, a Democrat from Georgia, and Jim Costa, a Democrat from California. Scott is next in line, seniority-wise, and endorsed by outgoing Chairman Colin Peterson. Peterson, a Democrat from Minnesota, lost his reelection bid. Once the 117th Congress is seated in early next year, the full chamber will vote on leadership candidates. Representative Marsha Fudge was also considering the leadership position, but is in the running to be the next Secretary of Agriculture. Other reported agriculture secretary candidates include former North Dakota Senator Heidi Heitkamp and Obama-era Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. Robert Bonney is leading the Agriculture Department transition team for the Biden administration. Bonney served as the Undersecretary for Natural Resources and Environment at the USDA during the Obama administration. And in news from the USDA, the Department of Agriculture yesterday, Tuesday, reopened a comment period regarding a petition from a vaccine manufacturer seeking approval to produce a foot-and-mouth disease vaccine. The comment period was announced by USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service for an additional 30 days. The vaccine consists of a modified, non-infectious, and non-transmissible strain of the virus on the U.S. mainland. Although introduction of the live FMD virus into the United States is prohibited by law, the petition states that this strain should not be considered a live FMD virus as it is non-infectious, non-transmissible, and incapable of causing FMD. Public comments will be accepted through January 21st of next year by the Federal Register. FMD is a severe and highly contagious viral disease affecting cows, pigs, sheep, goats, deer, and other animals with divided hooves. It was eradicated from the U.S. in 1929, but if it were to infect the U.S. livestock industry yet again, it would likely cause devastating economic effects. And stay tuned. State and local ag news is yours next.
The weather, market conditions, sudden illness. These things may be out of your control, but you can control how they affect your farm. At Country Financial, our crop health coverage, fueled by GrainGuard, includes Good Samaritan, stored grain, and tornado coverage at no additional cost. Take simple steps to protect the future of your farm. Visit countrycrop.com today or call Wayne Schaefer at 498-5800.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company in Bloomington, Illinois. Subject to policy terms and conditions, not available in all states.
Farmers, you know how important it is to have grain equipment functioning properly. In addition to making sure an elevator is always in tip-top shape, no matter the job, make sure your first and only call is to McAdams Millwright Service. McAdams serves local farmers looking to move their product, as well as large grain facilities looking to improve or upgrade their grain handling ability in order to stay ahead. Whatever the size of your project, call McAdams Millwright Services in Greenfield, 217-248-6879.
Farming has gotten so complex you need another you just to keep up with it all. You'll come close when you work with your FS Crop Specialist. They know your growing conditions and your land, working for you season to season, helping fine-tune decisions to ensure a healthy ROI. And they're constantly in training to learn about the latest in seed selection, crop protection, and nutrient management. Plus, they're achieving certification standards that exceed the industry. Contact your M&M Service FS Crop Specialist to learn more.
Macoupin County Farm Bureau members save big with the new membership benefit platform. Members enjoy access to more than 302,000 discounts on everything from hotel rooms, theme parks, restaurants, and movies to Ford vehicles, prescriptions, electronics, and more. If you aren't a member of Macoupin County Farm Bureau but would like to join, call 217-854-2571. Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
Moving on into State of Illinois Ag News, researchers are putting a new twist on a very old soil conservation practice. The acronym WASCOB, or WASCOB for short, stands for Water and Sediment Control Basin. It's an updated version of a dry dam. Those have been used forever to slow soil erosion. A WASCOB adds nutrient runoff to that list by holding water in place behind the dam for a longer duration, according to Southern Illinois University scientist John Schoonover. He's been working a series of WASCOBs around the Petersburg area in Menard County.
Each one of these are equipped with a control structure where we can monitor the discharge and we can also monitor the stage within each one of those basins. The ones without WASCOBs have partial flumes at the end, so we can also do a comparison of that water coming out of the outlet, so how much drainage we're getting through these basins. The basins are retaining water about 12 hours on average, I'd say. So they're holding water back for a little while, and that's allowing for some processing going on. So we're seeing DRP concentrations, or dissolved reactive phosphorus concentrations, about half of what we're seeing in the non-WASCOB watershed. So there is some microbial processing going on. TSS is settling out. We have some denitrification probably occurring in those watersheds as well, because we're seeing lower nitrate concentrations in those outlets compared to the upper basins.
Dry dams are dry until it rains, and then they can be farmed through and over. They act as a detention basin holding water. There is a tile line beneath the detention basin and a tile riser for larger events. The tile is generally best used to control nutrient runoff if it dumps into another nutrient call structure. A grass buffer zone is a good example. If you'd like to learn more about WASCOBs and other nutrient loss reduction practices, then check out the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast online. Just search Google for Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast. In other state ag news, we have the last weekly crop report of the season. Temperatures were about 4 degrees above normal last week, even as some areas saw snow and experienced a hard freeze. Crop statistician Mark Sloysener says rainfall was above normal as well.
There were 3.8 days suitable for field work across the state last week, and topsoil moisture supplies increased to just 3% very short, 13 short, 69 adequate, and 15% surplus.
99% of the winter wheat crop in Illinois has emerged, and 79% is rated in good to excellent condition, and that's an improvement over 2 weeks ago. Pasture conditions also improved and were rated at 53% in good to excellent condition. And as the calendar has turned to December, meteorological winter has arrived, and it should be a quiet start to the season other than some chilly northwestern winds to begin off the month, according to DTN Chief Ag Meteorologist Bryce Anderson.
There's not any real harsh winter system at all that is going to be around. I mean, when we have a forecast where it's pretty consistently in the range of 25 to 30 for the overnight lows after tomorrow, all the way into the December 15th time frame, actually. And then daytime highs in the mid-40s, you know, give or take a few degrees, maybe even bumping 50 occasionally. That's certainly doable. I mean, at this time of year, there are some occurrences that I've had in the past 5 to 10 years where I've had some assignments to go into the Midwest for, you know, for different meeting events and so forth, and have run into some pretty hefty rounds of snow at this time. But there's just not that type of dynamic at all. It's just not a real wet scenario to supply moisture to produce any type of precipitation. And along with that, the energy dynamics to trigger anything are also just pretty much absent from this pattern.
Anderson anticipates the more stormy winter-type weather to come to us in late January into February and maybe even into early March. And moving on into local ag news, Extension webinar opportunities are being offered today through the 15th of this month. To find a full list of the upcoming Extension webinars, just go to our website, wsmiradio.com/ag, scroll down to the Agriculture Headlines tab, and there you'll find Extension webinar opportunities. First off, the first webinar is today at 3 this afternoon, and it's Fun with Evergreen Foliage. You can craft some holiday elegance with evergreen foliage from your home and for your home. You can learn how to craft your favorite holiday decor and how to source suitable materials in your home landscape. You can learn how to make a wreath and follow along at home with hands-on activities for outdoor holiday planters or evergreen gnomes. The presenter for today's webinar is Andrew Holsinger, and again begins at 3 p.m. Tomorrow, Thursday at 7 p.m. is the Pruning Guide for Evergreen webinar. Learn the best practices for pruning your pine, spruce, juniper, or other evergreen tree. The presenter there for tomorrow's webinar is Sarah Vogel. And then coming up on Friday is a Grain Farm Income Outlook with Risk and Rental Implications. The presenters for the 2020 and 2021 Grain Farm Outlook are Gary Schnittke and Dale Latz. Coming up on Saturday is the We Naturalists Animal Tracks webinar. Nature-loving children, families, and educators are invited to explore a different nature theme from November through May of next year through video stories and lessons. Pre-recorded hour-long sessions are appropriate for families with children ages 4 to 7 and pre-K to second grade educators. The presenter there is Peggy Doty. And remember to catch a full list of all the Extension webinar opportunities that will be offered through Tuesday the 15th. Just go to our website again, wsmiradio.com/ag. Scroll down to the Agriculture Headlines tab and find U of I Extension webinar opportunities. And that will conclude your Ag News here for a Wednesday afternoon. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at wsmi@wsmiradio.com. So again, for this Wednesday afternoon, December 2nd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.